Okay. So that Heather and Kevin, I think.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, and Secretary Hepler. Heather Villa, the Wildlife Administration Chief for Game Fish and Park. If you turn to page 27 in your books or scroll to that page, you'll see our license sales update. So when reporting on this, I'd like to take our habitat stamp sales separately. Our total for habitat stamp sales at this point in the year, we're just over $2 million. So if you remove that from our totals, we're looking at a revenue increase over our three-year average of about $607,000. That puts us up about 7% on license counts over the three-year average. So I know we've been speaking a lot in the past few months about how our pheasant opener is going to be a big indicator of how our finances will go for the rest of the year. We compared license sales from the Friday of opening weekend through the second weekend of the season, and what we're looking at for that time period for three specific licenses, non-resident small game, non-resident five-day preserve, and resident small game. For non-resident small game, we are actually down about 14% from our three-year average. So we didn't quite have the turnout that we had hoped for. For our resident small game, we're down about 10%. And for the five-day preserve, we're down about 19%. So again, certainly not what we were hoping for, but I'm really hoping with our extended season, we can make some of that up. We've had really strong license sales throughout the year so far. So the first few weeks are certainly a hit, but we're hoping to be able to recover from that. Any questions on the license sales?
Questions?
Okay, seems so another topic I would like to touch on is COVID tag returns. So with COVID-19, we've had some challenges and some unexpected situations that have come up this year. So we put out the opportunity for folks that had drawn big game tags, whether it be prairie antelope, deer tags, elk tags, to return their tags for a refund. With that, on elk tags, we went to the next person in line if we got refunds or folks requesting refunds and tag returns. With the other tags, we did a first-come, first-serve opportunity that folks could get those tags as a leftover tag. Now, that occurred Wednesdays at 1 o'clock for a period of 5 weeks. And I'll be the first to say that we certainly missed the mark when doing our outreach efforts on that. We did quite a few social media posts, but we only did one email to the public letting them know that those tags would be available for purchase. So with that, we did a great job at letting them know they could turn them in, but we certainly missed the mark on letting them know that those could be purchased as a leftover tag. And I actually have Sean Idy on the line to give us a little more information about how that process worked.
So can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So as tags got turned in, we would hold those until the Wednesday at 1 o'clock. At that point, we would put those tags out on their respective seasons. And then people could then go in to their accounts and apply for those licenses as a first-come, first-serve license. And so depending on the season and the license type, those could be unlimited on the number that you could get. Or if you're talking something like muzzleloader deer or special buck, what's in rule and policy on those, you might have been restricted to only getting one of those licenses. As people purchased those licenses, then they were mailed out the next day, and we started the process all over again for the following Wednesday. And as Heather talked about there with the elk tags, those, if we would get an elk tag back in, we would go back to the original draw, and we would go back to the first unsuccessful person in that draw, and we'd start making contact with those people. If they were interested in the license, they would have, they could get it. If they weren't, we went to the next person. Also with those elk tags, if they were a first draw elk license, then the person would lose their eligibility for 9 years and any preference points that they had accrued. If it was a second draw elk tag and they chose to use preference points in the draw, again, they would lose their eligibility and preference points. And if it was a second draw tag that they chose not to use their preference in, then it was basically a leftover at that point. Any questions on that?
Well, Sean, this is Gary. So what happened on, I started hearing from people last night that when the deer tags got put in this extra pot, if you will, and I think you've addressed it, but there were no limits, so some hunters were getting 2, 3, 4, I mean, multiple buck tags in that part of the draw. Is that how it worked?
That is correct, yes. Yep, because they were in leftover mode at that point, and so they're, once we're in that fifth draw, leftover mode for deer, there is no limit on the number that you can get.
So I know another question has been asked is there any way, I mean, what's been done is done, so to speak, and there's no way to change that or reverse it, right? With, well, going forward with whatever the draw has been.
Yeah, Commissioner Jensen, Deputy Secretary here, Kevin Roebling. Just to give you a little perspective on the license allocation that occurred yesterday, we had 29 individuals of the 600, I believe, 24 licenses that were allocated. 29 individuals picked up four or more licenses, not necessarily buck licenses, but four or more. And then the rest of the folks that picked up a license yesterday, there was 388 individuals. The rest of those, about 350, picked up three or less, and about 194 picked up one. So the prevalence of somebody picking up multiple licenses isn't that great or that high. I mean, we're talking less than 30 people, but it is a concern, and we definitely will learn from that and look at different ways to redistribute those licenses in the future.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Mr. Chairman, this is Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. I think another important point to add to all this, while we certainly learned from this and we certainly recognize a few of those shortfalls in terms of overall announcements to our sportsmen and women out there that these licenses were available in that leftover status, I would want to back up just a little bit and focus again on why we even did this. And this was not a typical year. This was not a typical scenario or situation that we find our agency in. And as we were hearing from sportsmen out there over concerns over potential impacts of COVID, we put this option out as an agency to those individuals that had drawn a license, whether it was deer, antelope, elk, doesn't matter what it was, right? And based on their individual circumstance, if they felt and believed that they wouldn't be able to utilize that license for whatever that circumstance or reason was, that they would have the ability to turn that in. And we wanted to provide that opportunity to individuals, knowing full well that there were multiple people out there that were having some difficult times in respect to what was going on with COVID. And we really looked at this as a customer service process and something to offer to our users out there. And so obviously the intentions were very high to do something positive. And I think it was positive because those folks that couldn't use the license turned them in, and then with the ability to put them back out there for other individuals. Again, we had a few glitches in the system in some of the drawings. One of the things that we need to look at our overall licensing system with to address those in the future. as well as just the aspect that you brought up the question, Mr. Chairman, about, you know, an individual getting multiple licenses in this scenario. And again, as Sean mentioned, they were in that leftover mode or status. And at that time, even in all of our other drawings, when there are licenses available in that leftover status, there is no limited number that you can pick up. So that will be a continued conversation, I'm assuming, between our agency and you as commissioners, and we'll look at those pieces and see what needs to be adjusted or modified moving into the future. But just wanted to share a few of those comments with you and your fellow commissioners about the overall reason and intent for why these licenses were offered up for refund and then putting them back out there for individuals to pick up.
Okay. Thanks for that explanation. That's helpful. Anybody else have any questions, comments?
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner Sharp.
Thank you. I guess I didn't hear it covered. If it's already been covered, I apologize. I had the question asked as if you did return your license under the COVID deal and you'd use preference points, do you get your preference points back?
So, Sean Idy here again. So, yes, if you sent your tags back in, we've withdrawn those, and so it's like you never even applied this year.
Okay, thank you.
And so your preference points would stay in place, and once that tag has been withdrawn, if they want to purchase a preference point for that season this year, they could go in and do that at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? If not, we go to